I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana. So help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagbele Ago.
In the headlines, President Mahama charges 5-member interministerial task force on Galamsey to deal with offenders. Ghana and Canada renew bilateral ties. $25 million cashew factory to be established at Pram Pram. Supreme Court to rule today on NDC motion to cross-examine 3 witnesses for the petitioners. Nigerian president declares state of emergency in 3 states following attacks by Islamist militant group. And EU expected to support Mali reconstruction efforts with $520 million. But first, the summary with Najagbele.
President John Mahama has charged a 5-member interministerial task force to set up to check illegal mining to go all out to bring operators to book. Inaugurating the task force in Accra, President Mahama said the move is to bring sanity into the mining sector and ensure that small-scale mining is reserved for Ghanaians. Ghana and Canada have renewed their bilateral ties by agreeing to cooperate in the areas of education, agriculture, technology and engineering. Discussions are also ongoing to affiliate some Ghanaian universities to Canadian ones. These came up at a joint press conference by President John Mahama and the visiting Canadian Governor General David Lloyd at Flagstaff House in Accra. A Brazilian company, Unibras Ghana Limited, is to establish a $25 million cashew factory at Pram Pram as part of government's effort to improve cashew production in the country. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, who disclosed this when a delegation from Unibras Ghana Limited called on him in Accra, said the export value of cashew will attract direct foreign investment as well as ease the problem of unemployment. And Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has declared a state of emergency in the Borno, Adamawa and Yobe states after a series of deadly attacks by Islamist militant groups. Meanwhile, the chief of the staff of the defense staff has been directed to immediately deploy more troops to the northeastern states for more effective internal security operations.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news in detail. A 5-member interministerial task force to tackle illegal mining, also known as Galamsey, has been inaugurated. The task force, chaired by the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Yunusa Fuseni, is to bring sanity into the mining sector and ensure that the small-scale mining sector is solely reserved for Ghanaians. President John Mahama, who inaugurated the task force at Flagstaff House in Accra, charged members to send a signal to offending individuals and groups that government will not countenance activities that destroy the environment. Here's a report by Pascaline Adadavo.
The task force comprised the Ministers of Defense Mako Yungu, Interior Kwesi Ahoy, Foreign Affairs Hannah Tete, Environment Dr. Joe Otieje, and chaired by the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources Alhaji Yunusa Fuseni. President Mahama has on a number of occasions spoken publicly about the danger Galamsey poses to farmlands and water bodies. He also stated emphatically during a courtesy call on him by a Chinese delegation that the country is not stereotyping any country as far as illegal mining is concerned, but the laws of the country will have to be obeyed. In recent times, the activities of illegal miners have led to the loss of lives and generated conflict in some areas. President Mahama has issued specific instructions to the task force to deal with both Ghanaians and non-Ghanaians in the illegal act. He noted that government is not against small-scale mining, but those engaged in it must follow the necessary procedures that govern mining in the country.
Seize equipment used by those who fail to comply with the new directives of obtaining licenses or renewing their licenses. Arrest and prosecute anybody, both Ghanaian and non-Ghanaians, involved in illegal small-scale mining. Deport non-Ghanaians involved in illegal small-scale mining. Revoke the licenses of Ghanaians who have subleased their concessions to non-Ghanaians against the rules. Revoke the licenses of Ghanaians who have engaged the services of non-Ghanaians miners in the small-scale mining sector in ways that are contrary to the rules. Hold MMDCs and their respective DICECs accountable for illegal mining activity in their areas of jurisdiction.
The president has also charged the Ghana Police Service to confiscate unlicensed equipment like bulldozers, conveyor belts, and water pressure systems used by illegal miners. The task force will look at the area of output purchase and export of minerals by independent exporters.
Another area we're exploring in terms of dealing a blow to illegal mining and its attendant negative effects is in the area of the output, that is purchase and export of the proceeds of illegal small-scale mining. Most of the private companies engaged in this are owned by non-Ghanaians. The problem here is that the gold exported by some of these independent exporters are fraught with all kinds of negative practices. Sometimes the source of the gold cannot be authenticated, as opposed to exports done through the PMMC. Comparatively, exports through the PMMC Limited can be tracked, monitored, and the proceeds can be traced through the banks. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for the independent exporters. I expect your task force to review the system of purchase and export and see how it can be used as a means to clamp down on illegal mining.
The work of the task force starts now, and members are expected to produce progress reports on monthly basis to the Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani.
Pascalina Dadevo.
Deputy Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Yao Efabefi, says the Interministerial Task Force inaugurated by President Mahama to look into illegal small-scale mining is expected to monitor the operations of the Rapid Response Unit of the Ghana Police Service. Members are also expected to motivate the unit to perform its duty effectively. Speaking last night on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Efabefi said enforcement of the law has not been enough. That is why other measures are being put in place to flush out recalcitrant operators. He told Ibrahim Kwatin that a team is expected to begin its mandate today.
The committee will monitor the operations of the rapid response unit, and they will have to formulate policies that will direct them as to what to do to ensure that it becomes sustainable. They will give them some sort of support from the background.
But we have laws that regulate the activities of small-scale mining. Why are we not enforcing the laws and rather setting up an interministerial committee to deal with the menace of illegal small-scale mining?
You know, just the enforcement of the law alone will not work. Looking at the attitude and the operations of the small-scale miners, the police and the army have done their best, and I think that we have to go in full swing so that they are flushed out.
So is this an admission that we have failed as a people, as an institution, to enforce the laws? Because we get the impression that if you say the laws have not been effective, the laws are not working, then we are not working because we are supposed to push the laws to make them work.
No, the laws are working, but looking at this particular situation, if the operators approving very recalcitrant. It means that we need further more enforcement. The police alone have done their best, I've already indicated, but I think that we cannot leave them alone. Looking at the circumstances under which these illegal small-scale miners are operating, this is a peculiar situation which needs the ministerial intervention.
Right, so how are you going to deal with Ghanaians who engage with expatriates to engage in such illegal activities?
You know, illegal small-scale mining is just a flouting of the law. Small-scale mining is a preserve of Ghanaians exclusively. Foreigners are not expected under any circumstance to engage in small-scale mining. So if a Ghanaian has obtained a license to operate as a small-scale miner and they have engaged foreigners, it means the law has been flouted because foreigners are not under any circumstance to engage in small-scale mining. And what we have realized is that some Ghanaians have acquired this license and they have engaged the foreigners to do the mining, which is contrary to the law.
You heard Deputy Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Yao Efabefi.
For his part, Dr. Steve Mantia of ISODEC described the inauguration as a welcome one. He said since the activity is a means of employing people, it must be regularized and the activities of the people monitored to comply with the laws. Dr. Mantia said the main challenges the indigenes complain about is the difficulties in the registration process, which they say is centralized.
While we try to use force to ensure that the law is complied with, we need to look at the reasons why, for instance, people continue to engage in illegal mining activities. It becomes more of a challenge where they are not formalized and therefore not regularized, and therefore we are unable to check and regulate and ensure that what they are doing is responsible and the environmental rules are respected. In addition to the force being used to ensure that the laws are complied with, we need to look at other measures that makes it appetizing, makes it enticing for Ghanaian illegal miners to formalize their activities, to come forward and obtain licenses and do it properly. One of the challenges that we have found to formalization of mining activities by Ghanaians is difficulties in registration. Many of them have complained that for them to, for instance, register with the Minerals Commission and obtain the proper licenses for their activities, they will have to travel all the way to Accra. And this becomes an inconvenience for many of them and therefore unattractive. Again, we need to look at what incentives we can put in the way of small-scale miners or illegal miners to make it quite attractive for them to come forward. For instance, we could be looking at the creation of venture capital fund to support the activities. We could also be looking at equipment support to the activities, such as a plant pool where they can hire equipment at concessionary rates and all that. So we need to look at additional measures that actually complement the use of force to ensure that at least the laws are complied with. As regards the foreign nationals engaged in the mining sector, I think that, again, we need some education in addition to the force and the repatriation measures that are being introduced. You find that after Deputy Minister rightly noted, many Ghanaians obtain the licenses, go to China and other places in search of investors, and then they engage these investors to do the mining on their behalf. And many of these foreign nationals actually think they are doing something illegal because for them, the people have come and shown their licenses to them, and for this reason, they are investing their monies and equipment in the venture. And so we need to use our foreign missions to educate foreign nationals that small-scale mining in Ghana is the preserve of only Ghanaians, and that it is illegal for foreign nationals to engage in the activity. So there's a lot of education that must go along with the use of force to ensure that at least we are able to nip a particular nagging problem in the bud.
Dr. Steve Mantiao is the campaign coordinator for ISODEC.
Ghana and Canada have agreed to cooperate in the areas of education, agriculture, technology and engineering. Discussions are also ongoing to affiliate some universities here to Canadian ones to run practicable courses. These came up at a joint press conference by President John Mahama and the visiting Canadian Governor-General David Lloyd Johnston at Flagstaff House in Accra. The two countries are also working on an investment promotion protection and double taxation framework to aid bilateral cooperation. David Johnston is in the country with a delegation of public and private sector players in fields of business, education, social justice and innovation. Here's a report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The Canadian Governor General David Lloyd Johnston is the federal representative of Queen Elizabeth in Canada. He is appointed to carry out constitutional and ceremonial duties on behalf of the Queen. David Johnston is in the country on the first leg of a three-nation African tour, which will take him to Botswana and South Africa. His visit is to strengthen bilateral and deepen education ties Ghana and Canada have good diplomatic relations, which began in 1957. Ghana is currently Canada's fifth largest development partner, and trade between the two has reached about $200 million. The Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center at Teshi receives support from Canada in personnel training and research on peace and security. The Canadian International Development Agency, CIDA, has over the years assisted deprived communities in the area of food, sanitation and hygiene. Canada has comparative advantage in agriculture, particularly the production of cereals and engineering. As a joint press briefing, the Canadian Governor General lauded Ghana's fast-growing economy and stable political climate. He said Canada will continue to share her expertise with Ghana, particularly in post-secondary education.
I'm so pleased to be joined by a splendid delegation, and you could see from that the range of expertise that they represent, but also the deep and strong trust relationships that have been built over so many decades between Ghanaians and Canadians. I was saying then that at the basis of any good partnership lies that concept of trust, and it's slow to build and quick to destroy. This country is a leader among African nations, and Canada is very proud of our ties with you.
President Mahama thanked the Canadian government for setting up the African Institute of Mathematics and Sciences. He noted that a major challenge facing the country is how to translate GDP growth into practicable jobs for the youth. The president was grateful that some universities in the country will be affiliated to universities in Canada to run courses that equip students with employable and entrepreneurial skills. He also mentioned some interventions the country has received from Canada in terms of energy generation.
Canada has comparative advantage in transporting electricity over very long distances, and they would like to share in that experience in terms of evacuating the energy once it's produced and distributing it across our country. We also have a vision for opening up this country in terms of transport, and I guess that these are all areas in which we can collaborate. Discussions took place between our foreign minister and the Canadian delegation to create the platform for our cooperation to grow. And so they've been discussing an investment protection and promotion agreement, which I'm sure if we sign will create the framework for us to expand this cooperation.
The Canadian Governor General, his wife Sharon, and other members of the delegation will leave the country on Thursday, the 16th of this month.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
Vice President Parkwesi Misa Arthur has reiterated government's determination to maintain the country's peace, stability, strong democratic institutions, and guarantee personal security. This is said took years to build and have become vital part of the country's business-friendly infrastructure. Vice President Misa Arthur said this at a luncheon in honor of the visiting Governor General of Canada, David Johnston, in Accra. Seth Aya has filed this report.
As part of his four-day stay in the country, the Governor General of Canada, David Johnston, will visit the Crop Research Institute in Kumasi to witness at first hand the impact of the Canadian International Development Agency's involvement in an agricultural research project on maize, help promote Canada's business and trade interests, and the success story of Canadian Cathy Knowles, who is providing literacy programs for disadvantaged children in the country. Vice President Misatha said Ghana's economic environment is ripe for long-term investors who are willing to seize the opportunity to invest.
The new challenge for us is how we can stay ahead of the global competition. How we can stay ahead by building on the existing foundation for the private sector to thrive. The 2012-2013 Global Competitive Index by the World Economic Forum ranked Ghana as fourth among the top investment destinations in sub-Saharan Africa. Also ranked Ghana third among the five top recipients of foreign direct investment in Africa. We recognize that to provide the infrastructure for the further growth of the economy, it is necessary to mobilize the confidence of our major resource, the domestic private sector.
Mr. Johnson said trade between Ghana and Canada has increased more than 220% from 2000 to 2012. He was confident that business partnership between the two countries will continue to flourish. Mr. Johnson advised that much attention must be paid to the environment to safeguard it for now and posterity.
Ghana and Canada are blessed with abundant natural resources, an inheritance which presents us with a great opportunity and a great responsibility. As we work together to extract those resources and develop them to our advantage, we must also be wise environmental and social stewards, both for our own well-being and for that of our children and our grandchildren. That's part of our responsibility as citizens of modern, progressive, democratic nations.
The luncheon was attended by diplomats, Canadians, and a cross-section of the Ghanaian business community. Seth Iyia reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama charges 5-member interministerial task force on Galamsey to deal with offenders. Ghana and Canada renew bilateral ties. $25 million cashew factory to be established at Pram Pram. Supreme Court to rule today on NDC motion to cross-examine 3 witnesses for the petitioners. Nigerian president declares state of emergency in 3 states following attacks by Islamist militant groups. And EU expected to support Mali reconstruction efforts with $520 million.
And moving on, a $25 million cashew factory is to be established by a Brazilian company, Unibras Ghana Limited, at Pram Pram. The project is as a result of government's new policy decision to improve cashew production in the country. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, explained that the export value of cashew will attract direct foreign investment and also ease the problem of unemployment. The minister said this when a delegation from Unibras Ghana Limited called on him in Accra. Here is a report by Rita Nyako.
Mr. Haruna Idrisu said government is very committed to the project and will ensure that the production of cashew is facilitated. He said land for the project will be released to the company without problems. He recommended that Unibras should be given the necessary attention from the Ghana Free Zones Board. He said a partnership will further strengthen the bilateral relationship between the two countries. Mr. Haruna outlined some of the benefits the cashew production project will bring to the country, adding that government will support increased production of cashew.
What this means for Ghana is that there is ready market for cashew to be produced in Ghana. Therefore, we will encourage and facilitate increased production of cashew across the country, which itself will create some employment opportunities. My encouragement to them is to work closely with us to develop the outgrower scheme in terms of farmers of cashew nut, and then they relate directly to them. The second other objective which we will achieve is value addition. And then the chain of distribution itself will provide some other opportunities.
The Chief Executive Officer of Ghana Free Zones Board, Kwojo Chumbuafu, said the project is a sign that the investors are still interested in doing business with government. He said the GFZB is ready to facilitate the company's entry into the Free Zones Board. Mr. Chumbuafu noted that Ghana is the premier investment destination for businesses in the sub-region. The president of Unibras Brazil, Francisco Assis Neto, said the company is the largest cashew nut processing company in Brazil, which processes 70,000 metric tons of cashew nuts per season. He said the cashew project will create over 2,000 jobs for the people of Ghana.
Rita Nyako filed that report.
The media have once again been recognized as important partners in the country's quest to alleviate citizens from abject poverty and hardships. Their agenda setting and gatekeeping functions also help in the nation's development. The Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Akwesi Oponfusu, said this at a sensitization workshop for editors on the social accountability component of the Local Government Capacity Support Project in Accra. Asibi Bangui Kela Satin for Radio Ghana.
The workshop was to take the journalists through the social components of the local government capacity support project, which focuses on stimulating demand for accountable local governance and service delivery. The initiative is one of the strategies identified by the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development to address gaps identified in the 2008 decentralization review on citizen participation in the local government process. The sector minister, Kwesi Oponfusu, said the social accountability component also aims campaigns are generating civil society demand for financial information from metropolitan and municipal assemblies on issues such as budgets and audits. It is also to foster more effective engagement between the metropolitan and municipal assemblies and citizens on local government financial management issues, as well as strengthen the capacity and management of citizens' participation on the budget and delivery issues. He explains the purpose of the meeting.
The social accountability project is a component of the local governance capacity support program, and the rationale is to get stakeholders involved to ensure that resources that go to the assemblies are used for the intended purposes, and we consider the media as key partners in the ongoing decentralization and local governance program. Once you are well briefed on this component of the project, you will also be our partners in ensuring that the services that the assemblies are enjoying to implement for the betterment of the communities are done. We want to ensure that the key priority programs of the government, which has to do with environmental sanitation, which has to do with the very many challenges in urbanization, in rural development, in good governance at the local level, are well implemented.
Mr. Oponfosu said because of the media's role in promoting public awareness and education, the project is supporting the development of a media network on local government public financing management.
Asibi Bangui Keller's report.
The Supreme Court has deferred ruling on an objection to an accusation of acting in bad faith leveled against the petitioners by NDC lead counsel Chachu Chikata. Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, argued that the NDC has not provided particulars of the accusation, and it will be wrong for its counsel to continuously use the phrase bad faith to characterize the petitioner. Mr. Chikata, for his part, had argued that the accusation of bad faith was pleaded in the answers provided by NDC General Secretary Johnson Asiedun Ketia and specific instances provided. Presiding Judge Justice Atuguba stated that the court had made an earlier pronouncement on a similar issue, and it was necessary for the judges to take time to locate that earlier ruling for purposes of consistency. Meanwhile, Mr. Chikata continued his cross-examination of Dr. Mahamudu Baumia, focusing on allegations of use of duplicate serial numbers for different polling stations. Bubu Klinogo and George Asikiri's report.
Continuing his cross-examination on the allegation of use of duplicate serial numbers at different polling stations, Mr. Chikata sought to suggest that the petitioners presented photocopies of the same polling station pink sheets to back their claims in some instances. Dr. Baumia, however, blamed the situation on what he termed mislabelings. Mr. Chikata again suggested that the petitioners were selective in their choice of polling stations which used duplicate serial numbers, focusing on NDC strongholds, even though similar instances occurred in the strongholds of the NPP. Dr. Baumia responded that they brought what they found to court, and if the NDC has also found similar malpractices, it is up to them to bring them to the notice of the Electoral Commission. Mr. Chikata also produced a letter written by the third petitioner and national chairman of the NPP, Jake Obechemi Lamte, addressed to the EC. Mr. Addison objected to the tendering of the letter, but by 8-1 majority, his objection was overruled. Mr. Chikata then went on to accuse Dr. Baumia and the other petitioners of acting in bad faith, again compelling Mr. Addison to rise on his feet to raise objection, arguing that the particulars of acting in bad faith were not provided in accordance with the High Court civil procedure rules. Mr. Chikata responded by providing specific instances stated in the affidavits and answer of NDC General Secretary Johnson Asiedun Ketia.
Counsel keep saying that there is bad faith on the part of the petitioners. We are not aware of any particulars of bad faith given by the respondents. He keeps saying bad faith, bad faith. There are no particulars. I don't know where this bad faith is coming from. Clearly, if they seek to rely on that, they should have given us particulars so we can react.
My Lord, I mean, if you want further and better particulars, you ask for it. So I don't know, is this an objection to my question? If you want further and better particulars, you ask the party in respect of whom you want that to make that claim to provide it. We've never been provided with a request for further and better particulars of bad faith.
Ruling was, however, deferred to Thursday, the 16th of this month. Madam Gloria Akufo, who speaks for the petitioners, explains their concern about the use of the phrase bad faith.
This case, they allege that we brought this action in bad faith. The rules require that when you allege matters such as bad faith, you must bring the particulars in your pleadings. So we objected to that line of examination, and they were seeking to tease out, as it were, the grounds for their claim of bad faith on our part from the affidavit that was signed on the joint behalf of Mr. Mahama and also the NDC party. The rules say that your particular must be included in your pleadings. The affidavit sworn to by Mr. Esiedun Ketia is not pleading. It is indeed evidence. If you remember, the court said this petition will be fought on affidavit evidence. So what they are trying to do is to look through things in their affidavit to support that position. That decision has been deferred because the court says that they have treated similarly such a subject matter. They want to be consistent with their decision, so they are going to go through the previous rulings to determine what they make of that objection that we took.
The petitioners have also raised concerns about the length of time it is taking Mr. Chachu Chikata to finish his cross-examination. But spokesperson for the NDC legal team, Nana Todazi, says Mr. Chikata is at the dying embers of his cross-examination of Dr. Bawumia.
Mr. Chikata, from all indications, is coming pretty close to cross-examination, but there are other outstanding matters. For instance, you recollect that this morning, it was agreed that the petitioners were to submit a counterpart list in respect of work that had been given to them Thursday, but they indicated they didn't have enough time to complete it. They claim that all the information is available. They didn't go serially in relation to how we have listed. It makes it a little difficult moving from one question responding to another. So the court directed them, they agreed to submit a counterpart list that will be equivalent to what we've earlier admitted and out of it to be easy for us all to do. So I guess once he's through with that one, well, he is his solicitor. It will be time how to back off from that line.
Meanwhile, international accounting firm KPMG is set to commence the task of auditing the pink sheets supplied by the petitioners today. The firm is, however, yet to state how much it will cost to undertake the task.
Bubukli Nogu and George Asikiri report.
Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has declared a state of emergency in three states after a series of deadly attacks by Islamist militant groups. He said the military will take all necessary action to put an end to the impunity of insurgents and terrorists in Borno, Adamawa, and Yobe states. To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama has charged a 5-member interministerial task force to check illegal mining to go all out to bring operators to book. Inaugurating the task force, President Mahama said the move is to bring sanity into the mining sector and ensure that small-scale mining is reserved for Ghanaians. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gleago in Accra.